We live in a time in which many voices are competing for our attention. And with so many voices crying out to us, it's hard to pay attention to the voices that really matter. Just consider some of the voices. There's the voice of success or career, the voice of ambition. That voice which says, hey, you want to be somebody, don't you? Don't you want to make a name for yourself? Don't you want to find your way up the career ladder? This voice says, work harder, become a success. And a competing voice, that voice is the voice that says, if you spend all your time striving for success, you won't have any time left at all for your friends or family, your beloved one. If you work all the time, how will you ever spend time with those who are most important to you? There's the voice of consumerism, which tells you why you need that new car or new computer or new kitchen appliance or new golf cart or new pair of shoes. That voice that says, spend, buy, accumulate, you deserve it, you're entitled to it, no matter what it's doing to the earth. This is a voice that urges us to get that bumper sticker pasted on the back of that new car or whatever, where we're spending all our children's inheritance. This is the voice that says, shop till you drop. You know, Americans spend more time and money shopping than any other citizen of any other nation. And then there's that competing voice, that voice of simplicity. Like, do you really need all those things? Does filling your life with all that stuff make you a better, more valuable person? Live a simpler life. And then there's that voice of community that invites you to be part of something bigger than yourself. It's that voice that echoes our late President Kennedy, whose famous speech, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. It's that voice that says, hey, get involved, give your time and talent, make a difference in our common life for the good. And then there's that competing voice. That voice that says, hey, you need to look out for yourself first. No one's going to take care of you. Take care of yourself. Don't waste your time in the community. It's like putting a Band-Aid over a cancerous tumor. Protect your own interests. Collect, hoard, stockpile. If you don't look out for yourself, no one else will. And then there's the voice of faith. The voice of faith, which invites you into a world of mystery and meaning and says, hey, trust and believe and pray and have faith in things unseen. And that competing voice, that voice of reason and common sense, that voice that says, hey, you don't believe any of that religious nonsense, do you? Proof is what you need. Science is the answer to all your questions. Faith is for the birds. Oh. And there are, these are just some of the many voices that compete for our attention. Is it any wonder we find it hard to pay attention to the voices that truly matter? Is it any wonder why many of us have a listening problem? How fortunate there are that in the world of many voices, the one we call Jesus stands out. In fact, Jesus' voice, so clear and compelling, Jesus' life was such a miracle of speech that some of Jesus' followers began to refer to him as the Word of God in human form, Logos. In the beginning was the Word, writes John in the prologue of his gospel. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, this 10th chapter of John, and we just read a portion of it this morning, and I'd encourage you to go home and open your Bibles and read the whole chapter, because it contains, I think, one of the most beautiful images found anywhere in the Bible. At the same time, it makes one of the most radical claims in all of Scripture. It invites us to recall some of the most beloved words of Scripture ever written. That's Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God makes me lie down in green pastures. God leads me beside the still waters. God restores my soul. God leads me in the paths of righteousness for God's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Say that with me. For thou art with me. Say it again. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Say that with me. My cup runneth. Oh, say it again. My cup runneth. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For how long? For how long? After leading us back to those green pastures which we dream of, which we work for as Christian stewards, after leading us back to those green pastures beside still waters, John says essentially, if you really want to know what God is like, then look at Jesus. If you want to come face to face with that divine shepherd, then follow Jesus, for Jesus is the good shepherd. Not only that, John says, but this good shepherd calls his own sheep by name. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They know the shepherd's voice. This really is not some kind of a romantic image. It's not a romantic image. It's a very real one. It can be quite common to find in the places where there really are flocks of sheep and shepherds that oftentimes several shepherds will get their flocks all together and spend the day, and then at the end of that day, each shepherd will have that shepherd's own way to call out his sheep to follow them. A unique whistle or a familiar word, the sound of an instrument, and amazingly, the sheep will follow their own shepherd's voice. They know to whom they belong. Okay, so there's the question today. Do you know to whom you belong? Do you know to whom you belong? Do you know that the words longing and belonging come from the very same root word? There is in each of us, I believe, a longing to belong, a basic need to be part of something or someone to whom we can truly give our heart and soul. That's why people join clubs and fraternities, sororities. It's why they join gangs and cults. All of us long to belong to something, to someone. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Have you noticed that this passage requires of us, it requires us really nothing to belong to that flock? It requires nothing. We just belong. Not because of any effort on our own part, but rather we belong simply because the good shepherd claims us. Some people assume that they can't belong if they're not unable to at first believe. For them, believe precedes belonging. Theologian preacher Barbara Brown Taylor wrote, "Please stop exiling yourself from the flock because of your beliefs about what it takes to belong. We belong to the flock not because we're certain of God, but because God is certain of us. Whether you are here because you believe or because you want to believe, you are here because you belong to God's sheep." So often, we think that believing must precede belonging. However, both in life and faith, the opposite is true most of the time. Belonging precedes believing. Example, a first grader places his or her hand above their heart and they say the Pledge of Allegiance. Does that young child really understand all that it means to be an American citizen? Of course not. But by reciting the words of the pledge, that child is affirming that they belong, even if that child is too young to express exactly what that child believes. And it's the same way for people of faith. When we decide to be part of the flock of the Good Shepherd, we decide to belong, to gradually grow in our beliefs. Gradually, we learn what it means to confess Jesus Christ as Savior. Gradually, we realize that Christ's voice is a voice that really matters. We live in a time of so many different voices competing for our attention, with so many voices crying out how important it is to learn to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out, and the sheep follow. Why? Because they know the shepherd's voice. And just as Jesus came to be our Good Shepherd, so also he left us with that same charge and mission. We are to shepherd. We are to be those who will help bring people together, all of them, without discrimination of race or gender, social rank, sexual identity. We're called by God in Christ to be good shepherds, shepherds of the flock, even at the risk of our own lives. We're called to be good shepherds in the families, doing our part and feeling responsible for keeping it all together. We're called to be good shepherds in our schools, taking care that no one is overlooked or left out or lost. We're called to be good shepherds like that in our business decisions, being sure that we don't just take for our own good grazing. We're called to be good shepherds when we vote and when we stand up and step out for social justice, when we're evaluating the news and when we're reading the newspapers and such. We're called to be good shepherds when we hear political decisions and votes, no matter who the governor or president is at the time. We are called to be good shepherds. We are called, especially this day, to remember we are the ones to care for this planet, this earthly home, not only for ourselves, but for future generations. We are called to be shepherds, doing our best at keeping the whole of humanity together, reminding that everyone is a child of God, ensuring that no one is left out, no sheep gets lost, no lamb is overlooked. The gospel truth that we're invited to hear on this Good Shepherd Sunday is that we don't live for ourselves alone. We're part of something more, in a relationship with someone bigger than you and I. We cannot consume, buy our way to salvation. Life is a gift, not a contest of getting more and more. We may spend a lifetime running all around looking for God, when all the while God is sitting in our own living room, just waiting for our return, which comes when we realize that we're part of the flock, and we've been part of the flock all along, and that we have a shepherd who cares for us, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. It's not a new idea. It's a true one. So let us continue to worship this day as if we're coming to the banquet feast of the Lamb of God, where the Good Shepherd is present and is our host. Let us continue to listen. Let us continue to be led where waters are still and pastures are green, and then to be led further still out into this hurting, hungering world that needs the love and care that only you can offer. Thanks be to God.